citizens around the world are taking to the streets in opposition to the recent Israeli military invasion of Gaza. Grassroots movements have mobilized people in North America, Europe, the Middle East, and Latin America, acting together on coordinated international days of action. In Canada, cities across the country organized their own rallies, marches, and demonstrations, including in Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, Ottawa, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Halifax, and other cities, some demonstrations numbering in the tens of thousands of participants. Since December 27, 2008, over 875 Palestinians have been killed, including over 300 children, and approximately 4,000 have been wounded, the majority civilians. In Halifax last week, rallies on Friday and Saturday drew a combined 300 demonstrators out on the streets, denouncing the ongoing occupation of Palestine and the gross escalation of Israeli violence that has drawn the world's condemnation. For many Palestinian Canadians in the crowd, the killing in Gaza hits very close to home. Many members of the crowd had family in Gaza and were worried for the safety of their loved ones. Fadil El Sheikh was very concerned for his entire family, who are currently hiding in the basement of their building with limited food and energy supplies.
I have all my family over there. I've been calling them every day, checking on the situation over there. It's terrible. There's no water, there's no electricity. Bombing every day. They hear the loud noises of aircraft and explosions and so on and so forth. And my family all gather in the basement of the house, and we have a big family, so they're all in the basement in the house for the last 2 weeks. There's no place is safe, but they're reducing the risk of their house being exploded, so they're gathering in the basement of the house. Well, they have some cans stored, but they're running short of food and supplies for sure, yes. Like anybody else in Gaza. When it gets quiet, now there is a quiet time from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, so they go and try and get whatever they can get. They're running short of water, but sometimes somebody will go through every few days, go around and sell water, fresh water. Well, near our house, there is a couple of buildings were destroyed. It affected our building. All the glasses in our building, where the house is, my house, are destroyed. Like the glasses are shattered. But thank God, my family is okay. I couldn't say that for other families, though. I'm really frustrated with the stand on the Canadian government regarding this issue. I mean, a statement was issued by the Liberal Party saying Israel has the right to defend itself. The root of the problem is the occupation. We've been under occupation in Gaza for the last 40 years. No matter what the excuses is, they go inside the Gaza and destroy houses and demolish houses and put people in prison and kill people and kill children and women. That's not right. The stand of the government, Canadian government, should be against Israel, against human casualties in Gaza. That's what it should be standing for.
Mohammed Dalul has lost family members in Gaza since the attacks began.
I've lost a couple of cousins during an attack, assault. It's hard, especially when you have family there, especially when you have cousins that's your age, especially when you have people and loved ones. So hard when you go ahead and call them on the phone and you hear gunshots and bombshells going on. But what we're here for is we're here to support those people, that civilian people, the kids that's dying, the people that has no food, no electricity, no water, no way of contacting their families. People left their house afraid of getting bombed from helicopters and from jets and air attacks. That's what we're all here for. We hope that those people are safe.
Mohammed Garbia's entire family is also in Gaza. Their house is still intact, but the neighboring house was completely obliterated by a missile.
Yes, actually, the building right next to them was completely eradicated. It got bombed by a missile, and it's just not there anymore. And obviously, all the windows in their building completely shattered. Not a single window remains.
How many people are in the house right now?
It's a six-story apartment building, which the whole family occupies. There are, with my cousins and all that, I would say around 30.
And so are they staying in the basement? Are they leaving at all?
No, they're not leaving. They only left for a few hours during the supposed ceasefire, the three-hour ceasefire, to get some bread. And they would not leave the house otherwise except for food. That's all.
Do they have enough supplies?
That's the problem. They think the food supplies they have would only last for a couple days, and then they're not sure what's going to happen, but they're just hoping there'd be another three-hour ceasefire. But considering that three-hour ceasefire, for everyone to know, the IDF shot at UN convoys during these three-hour supposedly ceasefire for humanitarian purposes. So UN convoys are being targeted even during the three-hour grace period. People are desperate. They go out to get some food, especially bread, water, and so on. Just necessary things to live on. Many parts of Gaza, the phone lines have been disconnected, cut off by the IDF. For now, we are able to maintain communication with them, but we don't know for how long. The building next to them was blown up by a missile, and obviously buildings all over Gaza, according to them, have been bombed, so it's quite dangerous. They haven't seen any live explosive still remain from missiles. However, it is possible that there are still missiles on the ground that have not blown up. So obviously it's a war zone, it's dangerous, and they're right in the center of Gaza. So if the IDF is about to complete their grand invasion and get into Gaza, it's going to be a disaster area for sure. This so-called Hamas breaking the ceasefire is complete fabrication. The truth of the matter is, during the ceasefire, hundreds were killed and injured in the West Bank, which is not controlled by Hamas. It's controlled by the pro-Zionist, pro-US government, Palestinian Authority government. So the whole idea of a ceasefire, it's ridiculous. Hamas or the Gazans or whoever you want to call it did not break any ceasefire. The Israelis, the Zionists, have been breaking the ceasefire forever. People in the West Bank who have not fired a single rocket from the West Bank have been targeted as well. So this is a complete fabrication by the Zionist government and by the collaborators of the PA, as well as pro-Zionist media in the West.
Days after the demonstrations, Israeli Jewish peace activist Jeff Halper visited Halifax on a Cross Canada tour. He delivered his presentation to a packed auditorium at Dalhousie University in a room filled well over its seating capacity of 450. Earlier at a press conference, he demystified the current attack on Gaza.
And therefore, what's going on in Gaza today is an attempt at pacification on two levels. One is to break Hamas. And this is a goal that Israel has said very explicitly, to break Hamas as a resisting force, which I don't think Israel can do. I think Hamas has become kind of a concept, like Nelson Mandela is much more than just the leader of South Africa. He has a symbolic importance that goes way beyond South Africa. I think it's true of Hamas as well. I think Hamas, for the Muslim world, from Nigeria to Indonesia, the billion or so Muslims, for them, Hamas represents the clash of civilizations from the Muslim perspective. In other words, trying to defend Islam and the rights of Muslim peoples against neocolonialism, against imperialism, against apartheid. And therefore, Hamas is becoming, I think, a global Muslim phenomenon that can't be just defeated in Gaza. If anything, it's going to be strengthened by its fighting in Gaza. But that's one, but I'm telling you, that's the Israeli approach. Israel thinks it can win. It can beat a people militarily. And I don't know if that's ever really happened, unless you have genocide. But you can't beat a people. And that's the second level. The second level of the Israeli attack, I think, is against the Palestinian people itself. In other words, what Israel says to the Palestinians is, we're going to hit you until you get the message. And this is something that's been lost in the media, but it's very important because it hasn't been publicized a lot. Israel, but this has come out in Haaretz newspaper, so it's on the record. Israel is fighting in Gaza by what are called the Georgia rules. The Georgia rules are the rules that Russia adopted when it invaded Georgia, you know, a number of months ago. And that is what Russia said, and what Israel is saying explicitly in the Georgia rules is, in urban warfare, you cannot make a distinction between civilians and combatants, which is a fundamental distinction in the rules of engagement in warfare. It goes back even a couple hundred years, this kind of a concept, and it's fundamental to human rights, the inadmissibility of attacking civilians and non-combatants. The Georgia rules say no. In urban warfare, you can't make that distinction. In urban warfare, which is a part of counterinsurgency, there isn't an army. The Palestinians don't have an army. They don't have people in uniform. There isn't, you know, you're fighting the people, just like in Iraq and in Afghanistan. And this is the new form of warfare that we're engaged in. I mean, although it had its antecedents in the colonial times as well. And therefore, the Georgia rules say, since you can't distinguish between civilians and combatants, an army has two ultimate goals. One is to achieve its military mission, and the second is to protect its soldiers. And trying to protect civilians that are caught in the middle of all of this, or trying to distinguish between civilians and combatants only hampers the ability of the army to fulfill its mission and protect its soldiers, and therefore you can't do it. So in a sense, so this is really a war against the Palestinian people, not only against Hamas.
More rallies are planned for Halifax in the coming days, and a teach-in for the community is planned as well. For CKDU 88.1 FM radio in Halifax, this is David Parker.